Matthew chapter number 11 tonight. And I want us to look tonight at just one verse in the Word of God. And it is a familiar verse tonight. But I want us to look at it here for just a moment. Let me say again, what a joy it is to be able to preach again this year in the camp meeting. I appreciate it. And I want to say thank you for the invitation once again. Boy, you've got some great preaching coming in here. And listen, tomorrow night, if you have never heard Brother David Epps, I promise you, you are in for a blessing. But I'm also going to tell you this, he's crazy. Amen. He was on way too many drugs before he got saved, I'm telling you. But anyway, if you've never heard his testimony, a 1960s hippie shooting heroin in his arm, bell-bottom blue jeans on, tie-dyed shirts, a life of sin, shot at, almost killed, and how God saved him, changed him, and now God uses him Gulf Coast prison ministries, but also preaching across the country. You're in for it. You're not going to want me. You're going to say, hey, can you come back tomorrow and Brother Haslam stay in Statesville? I'm telling you, he's a blessing. Amen. And then we'll look forward to being back Thursday and Friday if you don't do that. And then I saw next week Brother Dagenhart will be here. He's up from our area, not far from me in Taylorsville. And then a fella I've heard of him, Brother Joe somebody. Amen. You know everybody knows somebody when all you got to do is mention the preacher's first name. Right? If you say Joe, oh, we know who you're talking about. Amen? And so he'll be here. He's one of my dearest friends, and he and I preach so many times together, and I have listened to him preach many times, and I love Dr. Joe Arthur, so I know you'll be blessed with that. Let's stand together tonight, and let's look at Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. And I just want to preach tonight. And I'm going to preach a sermon title. I bet a lot of preachers have preached. But I want to preach tonight on Matthew 11 and verse number 30. And I want to say this real quick as a pastor. A pastor's going to appreciate this tonight. And I'll say it to you men and those here tonight. That fella back there running that sound and up here preaching. I'll say this to your friend. Thank you. I love to be able to hear you. Brother Tom, you know what I'm talking about? You don't feel like you're about to blow your voice out and you can hear and the feedback's good and you say, what do you want to do? Hear yourself? You better believe I do. If you don't, you strip a gear. I promise you that. And so thank you, my friend. I don't know who's doing it back there, but give him a little extra. Amen. And I appreciate it back there, my friend, and thank you for that. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 30. What a familiar verse of the Bible. The Bible says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read it again tonight. My yoke is easy, and the Bible says, and my burden is light. And I want to preach tonight for a few moments on a subject that I know you've heard preached before, but I want to preach tonight a little thought God gave me on it, on the subject of yoked to the master. Yoked to the master. And I want to preach a little bit about that yoke tonight and what it means to be yoked to the master. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for already. Lord, I could go home right now and say I've been to church. Lord, I want to thank you for the good congregation singing, for the men of God that are leading this camp meeting that have got up and encouraged us already. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for Miss Laura, Miss Cassandra tonight that sung to us. And Lord, I'm telling you, they stir my soul every time I hear them. And I pray, God, you'll bless Brother Zach, Miss Laura, and I pray you'll touch their family. And Lord, I pray you'll bless Fairfield Baptist Church, Brother Spalding, bless those folk there, and we look forward to being with them later on. Lord, thank you for the men of God that are here tonight. Lord, I'm glad they're here. I know they could be doing a lot of things tonight, but I'm glad they've come tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help me preach tonight. Give me what I need from the Word of God. We'll thank you for all you do, for we ask it in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, you know I don't preach a long time. It's a little bit after 8. You hold on tight. You'll probably be done somewhere near 8:30 or just north of there. And so hold on tight, and I'll do my best to preach and give you what's on my heart tonight. Well, last night I preached on statements you find in the storm. And I preached that last night from Acts chapter number 27. And tonight I want to preach on being yoke to the master. You say, preacher, why is that so important? Well, let me say this to you. Right now, in this day and time we're living in, you better be yoked to the right thing. I promise you that. You better be yoked to the thing that's going to get you through another day, another hour, another night. I'm glad tonight that when I got born again, I got yoked to the master and hooked up with him in my life. If you think about the yoke in the Bible, the yoke was put on oxen so they could serve the master. A spiritual yoke has a strong hold on the progress of our lives. Let me say that again. A spiritual yoke has a strong hold on the progress of our lives. The yoke was placed on the two oxen so they could pull together. In other words, they got to pull together. They couldn't pull apart. They've got to pull together. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if you'll stay yoked to me and you'll go the direction I'm going and you'll follow me and you'll stay with me, there is no telling what God can do. Amen. I'm glad to, how many of you are glad you, Lord, I feel a little Holy Ghost touch tonight. How many of you are glad you yoked to the master? Say amen. I'm glad I'm yoked to the master tonight. I began to think about this thought. And I want to say this. I'm afraid many people have a yoke around their neck today, but I'm afraid that many people are pulling with the wrong helper. Amen. Though many people might have a yoke around their neck, but they're pulling with the wrong helper. Friend, can I tell you this tonight? There ain't but one that can help you. He can get you through pandemics. He can get you through sickness. And praise God, if you're saved, he'll get you through the rapture. Amen. I'm glad I'm yoked with the master. But I want you to notice tonight in the Word of God, three things the Lord put on my heart. I know many preachers have preached about this yoke, but I want you to see three things tonight that are put on my heart. First of all, I want you just to see the message of the yoke. The message of the yoke. Now, when you read this, the Bible says, my yoke is easy. Now, I want you to think about this. Does this mean that the Christian life is easy peasy? Does this mean that we'll have no tribulation? Was Jesus saying to us that once you get saved by the grace of God, it's going to be so easy? Can I tell you what? Back 10 minutes after I got saved, I found out that is not what he means. Say, what do you mean by that, Brother Chris? Well, let me tell you this. Right after I got saved, 1 week later, God called me to preach. But I'll never forget, my dad wasn't in church. My dad had watched my life, the way I lived my life. And I remember going home and telling my daddy that I got saved. And he kind of said, good, kind of blew it off. And then the next week, I went home and I told him God had called me to preach. I wasn't even 18 years old then. And I said, God's called me to preach. He said, I wonder how long that'll last. I found out that yoke wasn't going to be so easy. But you know what happened? Several years down the road, I was my daddy's pastor. Amen. I preached his funeral. He found out when I got yoked up with Christ, it was going to last forever and forever and forever. There's a message in the yoke tonight. Amen. I want you to notice tonight that Jesus wasn't talking about the Christian life being an easy life. I've heard it said many times, Brother Tom, I know you have as well, but this is not a playground, it's a battlefield. And if there's ever been without a doubt, a time where it's a battlefield, it is today. Friend, I'm telling you what, we better not put on part of the armor of God, we better put on all of the armor of God and realize that we're in the battle. But guess what? I've read the back of the book, and the Democrats don't win, and the Republicans don't win, and the politicians don't win, but I'm glad when it's all said and done, Jesus will still be on the throne, and God will still be in control. Amen. I want you to notice in the Word of God tonight that, listen, when Jesus said, "My yoke is easy," He was speaking to a crowd that needs to understand this. It was a crowd been yoked to sin. It was a crowd that been yoked to the world. Sin brings burden that the yoke of Christ does not bring. How many of you have ever heard the old time preacher say things like this? Boy, I remember when the chains fell off. I remember when I was set free. Hey, can I tell you this? I remember that day and that night at Alton Hall Baptist Church, halfway down that aisle, when I got born again by the power of God, and buddy, God took the chains off, and I was free at last, free at last. Hallelujah, I'm free at last. Amen. Thank God. I remember that. I remember how it was. I remember that yoke of sin was taken off my life. I remember that yoke of sin was taken away from me. And so there is a message in the yoke. Matter of fact, in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13, God spoke to Israel about that yoke. He said, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." If you know your Bible, you know that's a picture of God delivering His people by the blood. Amen. And God delivered them out. He said that you should not be their bondman. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Hey, it's not you, but it's what's in you that makes you what you are. Can I tell you this? I've met preachers that signed their own Bibles. Amen. I've met people that think they've arrived and they're a whole lot. Friend, can I tell you what I've learned in my life? I've learned what Paul said a long time ago. I am what I am by the grace of God. Friend, it was God that loosed the bands. It was God that took off the chains. It was God that set me free. The message in the yoke, he said, "My yoke is easy." It wasn't about the Christian life. That wasn't the message. The message was it'll be a whole lot easier to serve me than it will be to serve sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Amen. A lot of people got the idea that Bubba and him sitting down there on the bar stool, or somebody out here on dope, or somebody out here in this world, oh, they're just having a good time. They're doing this and doing that. All that crowd out there hollering, protest. I saw where somebody jumped up on a police car and the police car took off through the nut plumb over it. And I ain't got no problem with that. Amen. Y'all not, hey, your mama ought to taught you better than jump on a police car. Say amen right there. But I'm telling you this, and I want you to understand this, the world is trying to find happiness in bottles and pills. They're trying right now. Suicide rate in America is sky high. Hey, you know why? Because you cannot find the joy being yoked to sin. Amen. You can only be yoked to the Master. Only be yoked to Him. There's the message of that yoke. How many of you tonight remember that day? Remember that day when God set you free? Y'all didn't say that loud enough. Amen. How many of you know how far you were down? How many of you know how, Lord, I'm about to have a spell my own self. How many of you know how far in that pit you were? How many of you know how far down? Hey, Jesus didn't just reach down. He got down in the pit and He got you up out of it. And He set your feet on a solid rock and established your going. Boy, I remember, Brother Tim, when God took the chains off. Preacher, I remember when God took the chains off. Amen. That's the message of the yoke. Jesus said, "My yoke's a whole lot easier than the world." Amen. You know, you got Christians always feel bad when I feel good because I know I'm going to feel worse. I got some folk in my church where I preach, I try not to walk by them. If I'm not depressed, time I leave them, I will be. Amen. Ain't never had a good day. Ain't never been excited. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Praise God. When I go to church and walk up here and I hear that choir sing and them songs are sung, that engine gets a turning in me and I'm ready to preach. The last thing I need is somebody yoked up with something that ain't a God. Amen. Isn't that right? Let me just throw this in for free tonight. It won't even be the $29.95 I talked about last night. Let me just throw this in for free tonight. Before your preacher walks up to the pulpit, don't load a bunch of junk on him. Amen. I was taught that years ago. Don't load up a bunch of mess on him. He's already got enough on him now. Amen. Let him get up there and preach. If you got to talk to him about your ingrown toenail, talk to him after church. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Don't dump that mess on him. Sally don't like me. He don't care if Sally likes you or not, for he preaches. I'll be honest with you. He's got to preach. Then he'll deal with you and Sally. Somebody give me a witness now. Amen. I'm still waiting on another witness. You know, you take care of that. Number two. Number two, ain't got 3 points. Ain't got a bunch of sub points or nothing. Hold on. Amen. Number one, watch this. The message of the yoke. Number two, there is a mistake about the yoke. There is a mistake about the yoke. Say, preacher, what is that? Here's what it is. Satan will try to convince you that living for Christ is hard. He'll say to you that God's holding out on you and that things could be better for you. And he'll try to get you convinced that it's not good to be yoked to Christ. Amen. Bible tells us in Proverbs 13, I alluded to this verse, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Listen, I have never had anybody come to me and tell me they regret getting saved and living for Jesus. Of all the years, 38 years I've been doing this, of all the years that I've been preaching, Brother Rick, I have never had a member come to me and say, I regret serving Jesus. I regret, but I'm going to tell you this. I've had a whole lot of people come to me and say, preacher, I wish I hadn't turned my back on the Lord. I wish I hadn't got away from God. I wish I hadn't got... You say, but preacher, wait a minute. What is the mistake? The mistake is this. We cannot listen to the devil. We cannot listen to what he says to us. He'll convince us that every time a little something goes wrong, God doesn't love us. God doesn't care. Praise God. I'm telling you what, 2020 has been precious, hasn't it? It's been an interesting year, I'm telling you, for me anyway. Y'all pray for us weaker, brother. Ask Brother Tom, somebody's up preaching, ask him, how's things when you're well? So far ain't nobody been sick. I said, God must hate me. Everybody in my church been sick, it seemed like. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes, Lord have mercy. My year started off with a stroke in my right eye. That's how my year started off. About February of this year, I was going walking in Dollar General one day, riding 150, 60 miles a week on a bicycle, best shape ever been in my life. All of a sudden, my right eye was blurry. I told Wena, I said, what in the world? I thought it was my glasses. I took my glasses off and cleaned them. That wasn't it. We went in for 3 weeks of tests. They had me having heart attacks. They had me having strokes. They had me having this. Then one doctor summed it up how they can sum it up the best. He said, looks like you've had an eye stroke. And I said, yes, sir. I said, so what's the deal? Here's what he told me. He had to go to college for this. He said, it'll either get worse, it'll stay the same, or it'll get better. $100. I said, do what? He said, yeah, nothing we can do for it. He said, it's like a stroke you have in your body when it cuts off blood supply to something. Nothing you can do. So when I'm looking at you tonight, I can see very good. I have 20/20 vision out my left eye, but my right eye, literally, if I close my, and I do it a lot of times driving just because it's fun. I'll close my good eye and try to drive with the one that's, and it's real cloudy looking. It's not dark, it's real cloudy looking, and it's got spots where there's nothing there, and then others and all that. And it's actually got a tad bit better. It's since February, not a lot, but a tad bit better. And buddy, I had that to happen in February. And then Corona. We're just getting ready to build our new auditorium. architects drawing the plans, having big days, getting ready to go. Corona. 72 members with it. 2 deaths. As I told you last night, 1 man in the hospital, 70 days. And a preacher, when you know you had church, okay, nobody says, when you know you had church and you know you had it for the right reason and them folk died, if you don't think that weighs on you, I know they don't have to come, it's their decision, and I'm having church now. But I'm telling you this, if I see what I'm getting too close to another, and I slap them. Amen. I said, don't you do that. But I want you to understand this. Man, I started off with that. Listen, brother, maybe you know what I'm talking about. How many times has the devil slipped by you, that precious wife of yours home to glory, and slipped by you and said to you, I thought the yoke was easier. I thought it wouldn't be hard. How many of you men of God have almost cried yourself to sleep or pulled the covers over your head, and you said, man alive, what kind of day is this? I told my wife, I said, I lose the same vision in the left eye, and they told me it could happen. Of course, you know, they don't know. But if I lose the same vision in the left eye, I'm clinically blind and I can't even read my Bible. I'd have to get a Braille Bible, learn Braille. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. In just a day? He said, preacher, how you doing with it now? I just don't let it bother me. Don't think about it. Go on. Have a good day. Praise the Lord. My wife's convinced God's going to heal it. I'm trying to be. I'm being honest. She's convinced all the time. Amen. And I'm convinced, and it has got a tiny bit better. I'm praying it's going to get all the way better. Somebody called me the other day and said they had heard on the radio where a man had it a year and a half. He couldn't see it all out of his eye. And the other day, it's 20/20 vision at the doctor's office, had the same eye. It can heal itself. It can heal it. I realize that. And God can heal it. I know that. But here's the deal. You don't think the devil said, hey, look at you. You trying to build that building, trying to preach revival, trying to preach camp meeting, trying to get this church to do this, that, and the other. Now all of a sudden your eyes messed up. Now all of a sudden you got coronavirus. Hey, what are you going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I've always done. I'm going to stay with the yoke and stay with the master. I'm going to go with him. Friend, it'll never get too hard that God can't help me to get through that. Amen. They told me it could have come from stress. I said, oh yeah, that's a real problem. Stress. Doctor said it could have come, and they think it did, from high cholesterol. My family's notorious for cholesterol. No matter what you do, it's always high. And it's notorious for it. Then he looked at me and he said, it could just be bad luck. I'm thinking, where'd you go to school? Hall River University? I mean, where'd you go? The Yakin River College of Medicine? But I want you to understand this. Understand without a shadow. I was going to say do, but I leave it alone. Understand without a doubt. Hey, there is a mistake. Friend, don't you let the devil tell you that being yoked to the master is a tough life, because it's not. It's a whole lot worse being yoked to other things. Hey, amen. I'm a pastor. I know. I see what people yoke to. I see what's robbing them their joy and their peace in their life. I tell them a lot of times, you need to break them yokes. Hey, amen. Can I give you the third thing? We'll be done. I forgot I do have subpoints on the third one. But they're short subpoints. It's 8:20. I'm aware. I don't lie to you. Well, you know, I don't lie to you. First of all, you find the message in the yoke. Second of all, is the mistake in the yoke. The devil tries to get us to believe that God doesn't care. The third thing is the matter of wearing the yoke. I'm getting ready to make a statement that I really want you to pay attention to. I mean, if you don't get anything else I preach tonight, I put this statement in my notes when God gave me this message, and I want you to listen to this statement. I want you to get a hold of it. People will see what you're yoked to. Can I get a witness? People will see what you're yoked to. They will know what the greatest love in your life is. What's pulling your life. You know what I've found out? Listen. What I have found out, Brother Spalding, is there were some people that I pastor wasn't yoked to the right things. You say, oh, preacher, we're just looking after our health. God bless you. I ain't got a problem looking after your health. But church ain't the only place you can get the coronavirus. Evidently, you can't get it at Walmart. If you protest, you won't get it. If you burn buildings down, you won't get it. If you go to Outback, you won't get it. But oh, be careful about going to them churches. It's almost like there's an agenda. Huh? I made my mind, they ain't gonna shut me up. Amen. We just have to be the second hated person after Trump. Amen. They ain't gonna shut us up. You know what I'm telling you, right? Amen. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, well, I tell you right now, he says a whole lot of things I don't like. Yeah, and so does your wife. You're still with her. Right? Well, he makes me mad sometimes. Your husband makes you mad too, don't he? Tell what you better do. You better start looking a little bit what's going on in Israel right now. You heard about some temple stuff going on. It's going on, I'm telling you. They're talking about, what is it? They're talking about making that red heifer. Aren't they talking about doing some of that stuff right now? That red heifer, God, making it right now? Oh, yeah. Setting up for the Antichrist. Setting up for the Antichrist. You got a president that recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You better be thankful. I don't care what you think. I'm going to tell you this. That crowd that's trying to get him gone, they don't just want him gone. They want God gone. They want the Bible gone. They want preachers shut up. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot more than politics. It is good and evil, friend. And I'm telling you this, we better be yoked to the right thing. He said, well, preacher, I'll tell you what I think about that. After Save Your Dime, some stores need it. They're running out. The matter of wearing the yoke. Watch this. You were yoked to the world at one time in your life. God set you free. First of all, you can be yoked with unbelievers. That's wrong. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship have righteousness with unrighteous? What communion have light with darkness? God's people don't need to be yoked up with unbelievers. You need to be nice to them. Try to win them to Christ. You don't mean you're mean to anybody at all. But there's only so far you can go. Can't be yoked unbelievers. All you young people here tonight, you listen to me, any young person in this place tonight, you looking for a mate, if you're saved by the grace of God, you can't be yoked to unbelievers. Second thing is you can't be yoked to bad behavior. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherever Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You ever seen somebody saved, get yoked up something, they lose every bit of their joy? You ever seen somebody saved, get in the wrong relationship, getting something wrong in their life, get yoked to a job, take them out of church, and all of a sudden, joy's gone, peace is gone. You know why? They got yoked up with bad behavior. Amen. God set you free. You can't go back and put it on. Dog returns to his vomit. You don't. You can't go back and live like that. By the way, if you've ever been in the fire, smoke's just going to choke you to death. You can't do it. You got to get in the fire. So, preacher, what do? You get yoked with the blessed Savior. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We'll share this with you. I learned this last year. It's pretty interesting. I have had a couple opportunities to go out west. Right now, a lot of it's on fire, but I've had a couple opportunities to go out. One of the things I really like to see in person is the redwood trees. the ones you can literally drive automobiles through. I've never seen those in person. I have an opportunity to go out to Moab on a mountain bike ride and dirt bike ride out in Moab in Utah. And that's a bucket list of mine. I'd love to do that. Things are now, I don't know if we'll. But anyway, I found out something about redwood trees that's interesting. That probably some of the biggest, strongest trees you'll ever see in the world. But here's something amazing. They have one of the smallest root systems of any trees. How can something be that sky high and that big? Well, when I was looking at that, doing a little study, that was interesting. Redwoods grow fairly close to one another. And what happens is the roots of one redwood tree will hook up with the roots of another redwood tree. And that's where it gets its strength. It's what it's yoked to. Can I tell you this? This is going to come to pass. Probably November. I mean, seriously, and I mean this all respect, and I believe in it. I've done the funeral, people died from it that were precious to me, prayer warriors in my church. But I'm going to say this to you. I want you to get a hold of something. There's already a way to help us. I'm convinced of that. There are things, they gave me when I got it, when I was one of those 75, or 72, excuse me. I was one of those 72. They gave me a medicine. It wasn't hydrochloroquine, whatever it is. But it was that Z-Pak for sinuses, and they knew it would help me. My doctor's a Christian and got it to me like a sinus infection. Because they would have got jumped on giving it for coronavirus. My wife will tell you I got better in a few days. You listen to me. You better be yoked to the right thing. Buddy, it's a battle right now. We're in a war right now. Amen. Dr. Treber and all of them out in California, you ought to pray for them. Them churches out there getting fined $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. I was telling our church, we're talking about churches out there. I did not realize this. Brother Tom, they just spent $1.2 million on new buses for their bus ministry. $1.2 million on buses to reach people in California with the gospel. They have at least 8 or 10 rest home ministries and jail ministries, and that ministry all the time is reaching people for Christ, and the governor of California is trying to shut them down. If you don't think there's an agenda in that, and don't misunderstand me, I know we have dealt with a real sickness. I mean, if anybody knows, I know. You think, well, I don't know if I've had it or not. You have it? You know. But I'm going to tell you this. I want you to understand this. If you're not yoked, hooked up with the right things, I'm going to see if y'all don't mind, y'all give me a second. I'm going to see if I stuck this in here, and I think I did. And if I did, I want to give it to you before I take off. Let me check and to see if I did. I didn't. So I got it in another thing I'll give you later. I ain't going to tell you what it is. Make you come back. Door number 3. But I want you to understand tonight, stay yoked up with the right things. Amen. In this day and time, I'm yoked to the Master. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. I'm going to ask you this tonight. I don't know, preacher, if you want someone to play the piano tonight or maybe someone coming tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight while all of you are here in the auditorium. Here's a question I want to ask you. Do you know of someone this year that's been through a difficult time, been through a tough time, maybe you yourself, maybe someone you know, and maybe not you. My wife and I will tell you, we've had a few things to go on, but we still walk around praising God for how good God's been to us. I mean, I've done well. It hasn't slowed me up a bit, and I praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to tell you this. There are people tonight that need us to stay yoked to the Master. our children and grandchildren? Oh, my soul, do they need you to stay yoked? You know what? Well, a lot of us, I'm 56 years old, a lot of us, I don't know how much longer we got in this world, but if the Lord doesn't come, them kids and them grandkids and grandbabies, they're going to grow up in an interesting world, friend. I just wonder tonight, if you're tonight here in this service and you will say, "Preach, I want to thank God for that yoke. I want to thank the Lord and I'm yoked to Him. I want to ask Him to give me strength. I want to stay hooked up with the Lord." Maybe right now you'd like to slip out of your seat while these ladies are playing and come down and say, "Lord, help me stay yoked up. Help me stay where I need to be. Help me, Lord, to stay yoked to the Master. Don't let anything else get a hold of my life." Maybe you need to pray for somebody tonight that just needs that yoke, needs that strength.